And that sound means that we are back, fellow basement dwellers, for another edition of Bandwagon Nerds, the New Year's Eve edition, here for all of you that have nothing better to do on New Year's Eve than sit in a basement and listen to a bunch of guys talk about nerdy stuff. I'm so sorry that this is how your life has come to, everyone. But thank you for listening to us. As always, I am here accompanied by Big Dave Ungar. And once again, Dave, we'd be missing Rick.
Yeah, I think he's still watching the Saints game, isn't he?
It's the longest game in history.
It's the longest game ever.
It's a two-week-long Saints game with no playoff implications on the line, but a must-watch, apparently.
Oh, I'm sure he'll tell you that, well, the home field advantage is on the line. We got to get that home because, you know, that worked out well for him.
I'm sure. My Bears are just working their way to try and get a less unattractive draft pick. We are trash, and they make me sad.
So are my Redskins. My Redskins are just deep in the trash dumpster.
Right, right. But you know what? Once again, you know, we managed to make a call and get some late help to last week's Christmas Eve show when we talked all about Star Wars, and we decided it was so nice we'd do it twice. So joining us here on this New Year's Eve is once again from the great state of Wisconsin, Mr. PC Tunney.
I appreciate that, the great state of Wisconsin, indeed. Greetings and salutations, if I will. Salutations and greetings, if I may pull that knife and twist a little bit further from what. Who may or possibly not be listening, but great to be back on the show, gentlemen, once again. Amateur hour, you know, it's kind of
right.
It's kind of up there with what, St. Patrick's Day, etc., etc.
Hey, that's I love that day. They named it after me.
Well, I mean, it's a great day. It's great to have a good time, but be careful going out and about. You got a lot of amateurs out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Rookies. Yeah, you gotta know how to handle it. I did want to say, you know why I talk about the state of Wisconsin being great? Because I live, I grew up in Illinois. And anytime I wanted to know what there was to know about Wisconsin, my old man would tell me that it was about two things. That was cheese and porn. And he knows what I'm talking about. You cross that border.
Yeah, the cheese part. I don't know about the porn.
I'm just saying when I would cross the border, we'd head up north, cross the border.
Yeah,
and you'd see the signboards all the way along on the interstate.
You're cheese a 94 north, right?
Right, okay. Right. There you go.
Okay.
See, now you know. Cheese and porn. So
cheese and porn. That's the most intriguing combination I think I've ever heard.
Hold on. This is great because Patrick was coming up I-94 North, and he would see, it was supposed to say Highlands Cheese Food, but I bet it said Eglin's He's Fod.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Excellent.
All right. See, we've already bonded more than we ever did with Rick on this show. That's I'm just saying. Rest in peace. No, I'm just kidding. Rick will still be on the show. We're not kicking him off yet. You know, we haven't sent
He's a high school dropout.
Yeah, he's like a beauty school dropout. You know, like he left high school trying to pursue. I don't know what's going on. He's the best Saints fan ever. Sticking with him for 2 weeks.
Can you imagine? Rick as a cosmetologist? That's a scary thought.
Oh God. Yeah.
Big Rick, beauty school dropout.
See, there you go. Go back to high school. We just dropped a Grease reference, everybody. And that is where we are in this year. You know, Tony, you mentioned it, being safe and responsible over the holiday season. Real quick, though, we decided to participate in the New Year's traditions of enjoying some alcohol. Tony always does. I brought some stuff. So what are we drinking tonight? What are we drinking today, fellas? What are we drinking for New Year's? What do we got?
Can I just go over my day? I woke up this morning and I got up and got ready, went to stuff. And yep, that's all I'm going to say about that. 8:20 in the morning, got out of there at 10:55. That was a lot of fucking previews. Okay. That's 35 minutes. It's a 2-hour and 20-minute. Anyway. And the reason I'm mad about that is because 2-for-1 at the bar down the street from my house is from 10 to noon. So I missed the whole first hour, got there at 11, had a couple beers, shot Jameson, came home, got ready with you guys. I'm drinking Sierra Nevada Celebration Fresh Hop IPA. I think this is their fourth batch. And
oh, very nice.
If you're an IPA guy, it's a straightforward IPA. And I got to tell you, I've enjoyed the citrus and the hazy IPAs over the past 3-4 years, but I'm over it. I mean, the straightforward stuff. In addition, love me some whiskey. Shout out to Jameson. Please sponsor me.
Oh, very nice. Rick, what do you, or not Rick. Oh,
God
Rick's,
damn it,
Rick's
Patrick.
Drinking. Oh, sorry, Dave.
That's the worst thing you've ever said to me.
It is. I apologize sincerely.
Thank you.
It's the booze talking.
Yeah. I'm just drinking like some White Claw right now. I mean, it's still, you know, peeling the curtain back. The fans know that although we're releasing this on New Year's Eve, we're not actually, this isn't actually New Year's Eve. So it's a little, right. It's still a little bit early here. It's only 12:40 in the afternoon in California. And I'm like, I'll just stick with the White Claw for now. We'll get serious later on.
Yeah, you got a big sorority party, I heard, later.
Yeah, apparently so.
Meet up with your sisters and have some White Claw and maybe some Bartles and James.
A little wine cooler. A little bit of wine coolers. Yeah, there coolers. You
go. Yeah. I myself busted out some whiskey that is a local relative to me anyway. Actually comes from a winery/distillery out in the Neshoba Valley. And it is... just a very nice, almost like a single malt scotch, very smooth. I wish I could remember the name of the place, but I like the whiskeys. I usually like the scotches, but I'm pulled out this stuff because, you know, special occasion, New Year's. So, but what we're going to do today, first, I'm going to try to remember to pay the bills since Tunney had to remember to pay the bills last week with the Christmas Eve show. You are listening to us here on the Chairshot Radio Network, thechairshot.com. I'm going to let Dave pimp the t-shirt, Pro Wrestling Tee site, because I don't even remember where it is, and I don't have a shirt. And this show doesn't have a shirt, so, you know, somebody else can pimp it.
Tony, you can pimp it, since you know exactly where it is.
There you go.
I can do all of this. All right, watch this. This is going to be great. First of all...
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Do your favor.
Always good to have a little Amber on the show, man.
Yeah, Kriva's great. So, first of all, do yourself a favor. Go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Get yourself a t-shirt. Make yourself more aesthetically pleasing, if you will. You're probably not going to get it in time for the holidays, but what a great way to say, hey, something else is coming. Here it comes. There it is. How about that? Now, Lord Alfred. Take it away. Take it over to Christopher Platt.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Oh, God, this show just became like 80 million times more professional.
Yes. Immediately.
Wow. So Rick, you're fired. Thanks, Tony, you're on. No, just kidding. I swear we're not firing Rick.
Maybe we are.
I don't know. Anyway, but we're coming up, it's year end. And I thought, you know, we really haven't been on the air that long. This is only something like our seventh episode, maybe sixth or seventh episode.
Something like that.
And as you mentioned, Dave, you pulled back the curtain. We're actually going to deviate from our normal rundown. Usually this would be about the time we'd be talking about The Mandalorian. But because we're recording this show early, there's no Mandalorian to cover. And so instead, I thought we would just kind of do a little kind of our year in review in regards to what really entertained us in the world of pop culture, particularly in film and television shows. In 2019, and I think that there's fertile ground to really hit. I did a little rundown of just some of the things that I thought we would highlight in the best and worst from nerddom for 2019. Now, there's no particular rules with how we're going to do this. Like, if you've got like a one or two or three that you want to highlight in a particular category, you're welcome to. If you got nothing, you're welcome to do that. But I figured we'd talk about some of the best. We'd highlight some of the worst and maybe just one thing that you think went unappreciated in 2019 from the population. And so I don't know. Does that work for you guys? How does that sound? Think we can do that?
Works for me, man. We'll just get make it up as we go, right, Tony?
Tony's gone. I saw a big okay sign.
Yeah, he's okay. He's a silent majority, you know, that sort of thing.
All right. So the way we're going to kick this off, we're going to talk movies first. I think that's really what we've talked the most about in this show. Just talk about just what were our top movies up to three that you saw in 2019. So take a minute. But Dave, I'm going to let you kick it off with just anything that you want to say out there that was the tops in 2019, and we'll riff from there.
My top three movies of 2019. I'm going to piss you off right off the bat, Patrick.
I know you are. I know exactly what you're saying.
Number three is Rise of Skywalker. I said it. I went there. I stand by that. Number three, best movie I saw this year was Rise of Skywalker. Number two would be Shazam. I think that was the second best movie I saw in 2019. And the best movie I saw this year by far and away is Endgame. And I don't think it's really close. I know you and I are, although we disagree on the Star Wars thing, you and I are on the same page as far as Joker, that we neither one of us saw it yet. That sort of thing. Right. I would like, you know, I would want to say I want to see that and see if I would maybe slip that in above Rise of Skywalker. I can't imagine it's going to beat out Shazam or Endgame, but man, those are my three favorite movies of the year. We already just spent a whole episode talking about Rise of Skywalker. Shazam, I think you're going to see it again later on in this list. Fantastic movie as far as DC, maybe the best DC EU movie so far. I mean, and what can you say about Endgame? I mean, the highest grossing movie of all time beat Avatar's ass. Okay, it took a few runs to do it, but right, let's not quibble about these sort of things. And I would certainly agree with anybody who would say that Endgame was a more satisfying conclusion to the whole saga than Rise of Skywalker. I'd say you're absolutely right. It was. I saw Endgame like four times. It's tremendous in every respect, but that was by far and away the best thing I saw this year.
Yeah, and I think we're gonna see some overlap when we get to mine. I can't say that The Rise of Skywalker was one of the best three things I saw this year. And I enjoyed it. And everybody go back and listen to our Christmas Eve show. And you'll hear all the reasons as to why
if you did say it was, I would have fallen on the floor. If you had agreed with me, I would have just dropped on the floor.
A stunning turnaround. Yeah no. So
heel turn. No.
Heel turn. Yeah. It was a pretty big deal. It's just too convoluted for me. What? Too convoluted for me. Too much not explained, and not in a good way. Didn't feel that it was a mystery. Felt like it was a lot of, I'll just say it, trash. Thought it was not a lot of trash. Though I did argue that it had a lot of satisfactory elements to it in the end, and we talked about that a little bit too. So, Tony, I have next to your name. If you've got anything, what do you got?
I agree with Endgame. I agree with Rise of Skywalker. But another thing I've seen this year, a great movie, in my opinion, it kind of lines up, though, with Rise of Skywalker, where it doesn't meet up to the full expectations that I was hoping for it. But maybe my expectations were too high because it was still really good, was The Irishman on Netflix. It's really long. It's 3 hours and 15 minutes. It's Pacino. It's De Niro,
Joe Pesci's in it, isn't he?
Yeah, they fuck you at the drive-thru, Joe Pesci, thank you very much. They fuck you at the drive-thru, they fuck you with the cell phones, they fuck you at the drive-thru. But
I'm a clown, I'm here to amuse you, Tony.
Goodfellas, what a great movie. But it's a really good movie, just don't get caught up in that crap where they say it's the performance of their lifetimes, because it's not. And it's 3 hours. So dedicate 3 hours and 15 minutes and enjoy the story of Jimmy Hoffa. So those are kind of three movies that I saw this year that I really, really enjoyed.
So I don't think it's going to be any surprise. I think that you've really got to set aside some time to get behind it. And I think that movie, The Irishman, it might have done with a little bit of editing. Maybe like a touch, but I've heard it's solid but long. and that people really enjoyed it. For me, I'm superhero heavy. I'm sorry.
It was everything that she was hoping for.
There you go.
Solid, but long.
Solid. For me, I think it'll come as no surprise to anybody. I was very superhero heavy. I'm with you, Dave, in terms of Shazam. One of the things that I've said repeatedly since we've started this podcast that I think is really important to a good superhero movie is the idea that superheroes are fun. And I think that one of the things that has gotten so lost in DC over time has been the obsession with trying to make every DC movie feel like it has the same tonal elements of a Batman. And particularly those Christopher Nolan movies, which were so good for their own reasons, but are also their own bubble of a show or own bubble of a movie and really couldn't be replicated. And the thing that is amazing about Shazam and is great is that it feels fresh. It feels fun. It feels new. There's an innocence involved in that movie. And it's not a rehash of a Marvel movie like certain other DC movies have been as well. I'm looking at you, Underwater Thor. I'm looking at you, Captain America Woman. And so it was great. And I loved it. I thoroughly enjoyed the time I spent in the theater. The other one is completely biased on my part. And that's Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah.
It really had a big task in front of it after Endgame and having to be the follow-up movie to Endgame. And really be it's the epilogue in many ways to what happened in Endgame. And I feel like, you know, it's going to be one of those Marvel movies that are people going to be walking away from years and years later and talking about, is it amongst the best? No. Spider-Man is my favorite character of all time. I felt like it did a lot of good justice. And I think Jake Gyllenhaal deserves a lot more credit for his role as Mysterio.
Agreed.
Because I was not sold on him when they cast him.
Just to tie like last week into this week, Abe speaking.
Yep.
Boom. Suck on that plat. how'd you guys feel about the Black Widow trailer? Because we all seen Star Wars.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, and I mean
when it dropped. Yeah.
It's it is. I mean, that's going to get mentioned later on this episode is a few things, but it's I think the biggest thing that I have about the Black Widow trailer is like, okay, this is the kickoff to Phase 4, but the common perception is that it's a prequel. Now, we don't know that for sure, although it would be shocking if it was anything but a prequel. But how this actually ties in and kicks off Phase 4, that's the thing that I'm most curious about. The trailer looked really good. You got the introduction of Natasha's sister. I don't know who is that. It's not Captain Britain, is it? I don't know who.
It's not Captain Britain.
The big dude.
There's
is.
A name. Yeah, David Harbour's character.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I think, you know, talk about like Patrick. You just mentioned Far From Home had an unenviable task of being the end of Phase 3 and following Endgame. Black Widow's got the same sort of problem. You are kicking off Phase 4, and expectations and pressure are going to be very high to not fuck this thing up right off the bat. I'm excited to see what they do with it, but I love the trailer.
I think the thing that Marvel has, and we talked about this a lot, that DC really doesn't have, Marvel has a level of credibility to it to where we kind of look at things with a much more open mind with their movies and what they put out. And I think that cachet was created when Guardians of the Galaxy was so freaking good. Like, people liked Marvel movies. Guardians of the Galaxy was when they were finally like, that was the risk. Like, that was the risky movie. Like, you can say Iron Man, like the initial one, was a risky movie, and it was. But when it came to how willing our audience is to kind of go with where Marvel was going to take you, Guardians of the Galaxy really did that. And I think that allows them to do a movie like a Black Widow where people are talking about, is this a prequel? What is it leading to? And is it just going to be a thread? Is this just going to be something that is a thread? And I think that's what it is. It's a thread to get us to Phase 4 that did, you know, happened, but it happened at a time. It seems like it's happening in between that period where Cap and Iron Man have the falling out. And then before we start to get together for Infinity War. So I think that we already skipped to the last point for Dave on that one. No, that's not on you, Tony. That's how these shows go. That's a happy accident. My top movie. I'll get back to the subject. My top movie, though.
I try to tell her. I tell her that all the time.
Happy. Yeah, that's right. Happy accident. It's Endgame. It's Endgame, and for everything that movie did in terms of being a feat of 20 movies in the making, to putting a lot of really satisfactory bows on some character arcs, to finding a way to weave all of these characters in, to still give that show or give that movie some stakes, and they weren't great stakes, but having all these different characters with their different threads and their plots and the way they build it and the way they made it about that original group of Avengers, it was just, to me, the feeling of satisfaction I got walking out of Endgame is what I didn't get out of the Rise of Skywalker, which is why I'm so sour on Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, I just thought of something. We didn't mention it on the last episode, but Rise of Skywalker was... there was some elements of fun to it, Patrick. They tried to lighten things up. They tried to cut some jokes and did some good stuff there.
Poe Dameron's relationship, I think, is another highlight of that movie. Like, the chemistry that those two have was great. Oscar Isaac and John Boyega, like, terrific chemistry. Love them. I think that, it's without question. It's Avengers Endgame. And it really, it showed and it dominated the theater sphere almost the entire year.
Dominated everything, pretty much.
Right. Cool.
The Masked Singer.
Oh, the Masked, stop it.
Shit. Just,
Wayne Sorry. Brady, really?
We mentioned last week about slapping a bitch or something, I think.
Wayne Brady did talk about slapping a bitch. God, that's one of the greatest skits of all time.
Synergy.
Right. And since you're talking TV show, why don't we jump right into our best shows of 2019? This is where I was very excited. There was a lot of good stuff available to watch, whether it was on television or whether it was on streaming that are out there. And I'm going to go first this time talking about my top three. I think it begins with me. It begins with Watchmen, the new Watchmen series on HBO. If you don't have HBO, or can't get a connection to an HBO, I don't know what they call their streaming account. But find a friend who does and watch The Watchmen. It is such a good show that does justice to the comic as a continuation of the story within that book, that graphic novel, while at the same time telling its own narrative that is very reflective of what's going on in our country right now. That show has everything. It's a commentary about vigilantism, about white nationalism, about our history of racism in this country. And it does it in a way that is not attacking. It is not attacking a people, in my opinion. It's brilliant. And to watch that show come together the way that it did, it's a show. It's a rare show that I want to watch from the beginning and just reabsorb, because there's so much to it that I know I missed important stuff. And just highlights and details that you'll just never see. And so for me, it begins and ends with The Watchmen. Number two for me, is a Netflix show. And I'm going to mess it up, but it was the Dark Crystal show that came on Netflix, which managed to take puppetry, and believe it or not, make puppetry from many people would say was a very dated fantasy movie and do a prequel and tell it in a way that was compelling, was interesting, and didn't feel like a fan servicey sort of thing so much as a way to show how you got there. The name of the show is The Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance. Just totally worth checking out. Loved it to death. And I think that people should go and see it and watch it two or three times. And then my last show, I'm going to keep this on Netflix and, no judgment out of this group. I'm looking forward to, but Netflix has been quietly releasing and they're up to four mini seasons now of a remake of She-Ra, which, yeah, see, oh, hell of a great show that is very, very thematically just, it's so great. It's about intertwining relationships. It's about reconciling being a leader, having all this power, and not knowing what to do with it, not knowing how to control it. There's resentment, there's love, there's friendship, and it's so great. And I watch it with the little dad, I watch it with my son, and the animation is terrific too. Highly recommend that show. Check it out, do yourself a favor. And they're quick seasons. They're only like 6 episode seasons of little half hour cartoon snippets. And so they've done a good job of like threading together a narrative throughout. But She-Ra, surprisingly one of the best shows that I saw this year. Thoughts before I shift to Tony?
I don't have enough. I mean, I agree with you on Watchmen. I mean, what I've seen of it so far, I really enjoy. The other two shows I have not checked out, to be honest with you guys. So, but
if you like the Dark Crystal, I really, really recommend you check out Age of Resistance, Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance. It is so good.
I mean, that movie so from good. Like the 80s, the Dark Crystal?
Yeah, that movie from like the 80s, the Dark Crystal.
Okay, yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Jim Henson, and there's also a great documentary about how they put all that show together, and it's a beautiful mix of practical puppetry with modern technology and special effects.
I will definitely check it out then.
Right, highly recommend it. Tony, what do you got? Anything?
All right, let's start on Netflix. Television is kind of my thing. I love coming home after a long day's work,
yep, making
food, sitting in the recliner, kicking back. Netflix, Shameless, another episode, another season of Shameless. Great series. Absolutely love it. In addition, The Ranch. The Ranch is really good on Netflix if you haven't watched it.
And that one's coming to an end, right? Like one season left?
Ashton Kutcher, yes, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, that's absolutely solid in my opinion. Disney Plus, obviously we talk about The Mandalorian. The World According to Jeff Goldblum, excellent.
Yes, there you go.
Absolutely excellent. He picks something and he goes with it, whether it's jeans, bikes, ice cream, etc. Tune in. You'll absolutely love it.
Did you see the episode where like the guy quotes a line that Jeff Goldblum said in Jurassic Park to him, and he goes,
yes.
did you just quote a yes. line from Jurassic Park to me?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Amazing moment. I mean, if you're any kind of fan of Jeff Goldblum, you'll absolutely love it. If you're any kind of fan of just someone going about in society and seeing what's happening, Jeff Goldblum makes it happen. The production company, whoever's taking care of this, does an excellent job. Things I've watched. Gordon Ramsay takes over on Uncharted and does a great job with that season. That's on Disney Plus as well. So if you're a fan of cooking and different cultures, check that out. Since we're on TV, guys, I'd love to be your TV guy. Let me go down my DVR here, Raw and SmackDown, top it off because we're in the wrestling industry. Eddie Murphy hosted Saturday Night Live this previous weekend. If you haven't seen it, go ahead, check it out. Make sure you check out Gumby when he is on Weekend Update. Survivor just had another great season. Big Brother's looking forward to another great season. This Is Us wrapped up on NBC, taking over for Parenthood, does a great job. The Simpsons is now streaming on Disney Plus. That's 30 years of The Simpsons, okay? Silicon Valley on HBO wrapped up. Unbelievable series. If you just like comedies or you like dick and fart jokes or you like tech, check it out. It's fucking phenomenal. Silicon Valley. Larry David, speaking of Curb Your Enthusiasm, is still on my fucking DVR, and I don't think that's coming back, but I miss it. He just played Larry David again. Shark Tank, I really enjoy. Succession is another show that's on HBO that's excellent. Gordon Ramsay, I mentioned already, MasterChef. The Neighborhood. I'll stop here. The Neighborhood is a series with Jeff Greenfield and Cedric the Entertainer that's on CBS.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal. And I absolutely love it. And if you love Beth Bears from Two Broke Girls, you'll absolutely love this series. So, gentlemen, that's my 2019 TV year in review.
Ooh,
I, yeah, I'm a TV guy, so I just thought I would bring as much as I possibly could.
I said three. No, just kidding, man.
Gave us 10.
No, that's cool. I appreciate that. I there's more TV now to watch than ever before, more series to watch than ever before. It's so hard to keep up. It's part of the reason why I love these shows, because you get to do this. What about you, Dave? What do you got?
I don't watch nearly as much TV as you guys do. But, I mean, the stuff I do watch, I mean, Stranger Things is always something that I enjoy. Just yep. A solid show. I mean, I know it's losing a little bit of momentum, but not too much. I tell you, number two, if you're checking out this Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover on the CW, holy shit, that is simply fantastic. I mean, and I'm just like, okay, when does the next one come out? Got to give DC some credit for pulling this thing off as well as they are right now. And it's not easy when you got Superman fighting each other and you've got multiverses clashing and they're getting to that before Marvel's really going to go down that rabbit hole.
Can we talk about this? Because I left that out on purpose. I'm sorry. I'm not meaning to direct you guys to show or anything, but this is something.
No, I'm just the host. It's fine. No, I'm just kidding. No, go for it. Talk about it. I'm going to let you two talk about it because I have not watched a second of this.
I'm not caught up yet, but what I've seen is great. But go ahead, Tony.
Well, we're not resuming it again. We got the first 3 out of 5, and we're not resuming it again until January 14th on the CW. So I don't know. Do you guys want to know where they left off in the middle here or not? I mean,
this is not a spoiler-free podcast.
That is true. This is not a spoiler-free podcast. We make that very clear.
So we're stuck in the time and space where the Anti-Monitor cannot get to the 7 Paragons. But one of the 7 Paragons has been replaced by Lex Luthor because of the Book of Destiny, that he has replaced himself with that. That's where we're at. That's where we're going to come back from. And I left that out, but I want to say my number one comic book Marvel superhero. It's not Marvel. It's DC. I'm a DC guy. Sorry. The Flash on CW is my favorite fucking thing going superhero. I'll be quiet.
Nothing wrong with that.
The little O'Dowd loves him some Flash. He's got all kinds of Flash gear. So solid pick.
But I tell you, my number one TV show is The Mandalorian. I mean, that is really
stunned.
Yeah, stunning. I know. It caught me by surprise just as to how good it was and how good it persists. And yeah, episode 7, chapter 7, whatever you want to call it, was really elevated the bar a lot. I mean, I love that show. Anxious to see how it ends up. I really hope that there's more in the hopper than that one. But those are the ones that I've enjoyed, you know, that sort of thing. I dabble with The Walking Dead a little bit, but I'm not kept up on that.
That show jumped the shark a long time ago.
It did.
Yeah, I said it. it's a group of people making the same stupid decisions over and over and over again at the zombie apocalypse at this point.
Yes.
Like, take any scenario, make the worst decision possible, follow that decision, fuck everything up. That's every Walking Dead episode. Like, this is it.
That's pretty close.
You're laughing because I'm right.
Say you're wrong, but you might be right. Go ahead.
Right. I left one show off that I feel really remiss that I didn't mention. It's also, and when Tony brought up NBC, that's what made me think of it. The Good Place. It's a comedy with Kristen Bell and Ted Danson. And if you haven't watched that show, watch it from the beginning. It's a show that I don't understand how the writing is so good and able to continue to kind of top itself and build it. And it's in its last season now as well. But it's a fascinating take on the concept of the afterlife. And as we come to a head, I've just thoroughly enjoyed, and I started this show late, and it's on Netflix right now. But it's going to be leaving Netflix when NBC starts pulling all their stuff away for their own stuff. Yeah. It's another one that I strongly recommend that you check out, watch from the beginning. It's a fast watch. The seasons are only about 8 to 10 episodes a season, but they pack a lot in there, and it's just so, so good. And I've fallen in love with it in a hurry, and I'm disappointed that I didn't get to watch it from the beginning, but I'm really looking forward to seeing how it all ends.
Have you guys seen The Boys? I've heard a lot of good things about
yes.
that.
Yes. Oh, that show is great, too. So good on Amazon Prime. You want to talk about it's superheroes with like kind of more of like what normal people would be like if they discovered they had superpowers. Like, not this whole like I have a sense of nobility. It's like people are assholes. Like, they have superpowers and they're just assholes with them. It's so great. It's a beautiful movie. And actually underrated performance in that one, in my opinion. Elizabeth Shue is in that movie. Yeah, Elizabeth Shue. She plays this so superheroes have been kind of privatized and are corporate. And there's this, like, the Justice League is run by this corporation, this agency that kind of picks and chooses like what crimes they take care of and what they protect. And they have publicists and like images and like all these things that they do to create the image of like a perfect superhero. And yet they're terrible people outside of this image. And just horrible things are going on throughout the whole thing. And there's a character who is recruited to join. She comes from Iowa and she's one of these like kind of typical like rose colored glasses, thinks these people are great. Then she gets in there and it's like watching her slowly compromise herself to continue to do good and be a part of this team from where she is, because she's in a position to help, but kind of losing herself along the way a little bit. And then there's another plot, the main male protagonist. The show opens, he's this guy who just is kind of wishy-washy throughout life. He's got this girlfriend that he's in love with and he's saying goodbye to her and he's kissing her goodbye, and this dude who has super speed runs through her and she explodes all over him because Jesus. he's high on drugs and he's doing it to kind of keep it's like a steroid for superheroes. And he then meets a vigilante played by Carl Urban who is trying to bring down this structure. It's amazing. It's based on a real comic. Yeah. Strongly recommend you read it.
It's almost great.
It's almost note for note with the comic.
Why was I reminded of the movie Almost Famous, where he's up on top of the roof and he's like, yeah,
I'm an old god.
Yeah, I'm on drugs.
But that's very much what it is. And it's a great show. I'm looking forward to season 2. I think it's going to be awesome. Good catch, Dave.
I'm here for you, brother.
That is right. All right. So let's limit this to one. But I got next on our list, top acting performances. Pick one man and one woman that performed extraordinarily well in 2019 in a role that you appreciate. And we're going to start with Tunney. You get to go first this time. It can be any, it can be a TV show. It can be a movie. It doesn't matter. But you get to pick one man and one woman that you would say are the tops.
I got nothing really. Oh my goodness. Acting this year, that's tough. I haven't really paid a lot of attention to a lot of things that have been going on besides wrestling and my own life selfishly. But, I don't know. Meryl Streep probably. And,
she always wins the Oscar.
Sean Connery for old time's sake. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
His performance in The Rock was amazing.
Monty Penny, come over here and, drop those panties.
I mean, Roman Reigns and the performance of getting dumped on top of his head, maybe. That's what I got. I don't know. Great, that's all I'll say is that was my kind of presumption this morning as I watched her perform on the screen. It was like, you look really cool.
All right. We'll give you, we'll do this the way we grade Rick. We'll give it an incomplete on that one. We'll let you audit the course.
Being graded at the same, kind of concept as Rick.
Just once. I mean, it's a minor thing. Again, you showed up. We're going to wrap Keanu back to this. Showed up. I'll go next. For me, I'm going to go into a couple of shows that are a couple of things that we already talked about, a couple of performances we already looked at. And the first thing, it's funny that I didn't mention the show, but I had her listed as one of my top performances by a woman this year. And that's Kristen Bell. I love her role in The Good Place and what she does as a woman who thinks she's accidentally put into heaven and doesn't belong there. And over time learns that she really wasn't in heaven, that she was in hell, and reconciling by the time we get to this fourth season, she's a leader of people. And is a driving force behind the show. And she just does such a terrific, terrific job putting that show together on her back and really running with it and moving forward. For men, Dave, this is going to surprise you.
Oh, do tell.
I'm going with Adam Driver. And I'm going with Adam Driver because for all that I don't like about The Rise of Skywalker, his story arc and his portrayal of Kylo Ren is great. And I love that character. I really do love that character out of the new trilogy.
Sold the conflict very well, didn't he?
I feel I feel like he sold the conflict. I feel that he shared the burden of legacy. Like, that's the thing that I think is really interesting about, you know, you were talking in the Christmas Eve show, you were talking about how there's kind of this rotational story arc of Star Wars and these thematic things. The thing that I think is a great twist on all of that is that Kylo Ren's turn and descent into darkness is really about the heavy burden of expectations of being the child of Han Solo and Princess Leia and being part of the legacy of the greatest Jedi that he knows in Luke Skywalker and living up to those promises and turning to the dark side, really, because he's almost rejected by Luke in a sense. And that moment of weakness on Luke Skywalker's part, and he wears it and he carries it and he's so conflicted. And it's like he's following this dark path, not really because he's dark, but because he feels like it sounds silly, but he feels outcast by his own family and feels that burden of what it means to be their child and to be the force sensitive child of Princess Leia and Han Solo and the nephew of Luke Skywalker. And I think he sells it so well. It's so great. And to see his redemption in the way that they turned that, and yes, even disheveled Han Solo, it made me smile. And I loved it. And I thought Adam Driver really is the only person I can see ever being Kylo Ren.
Yeah. I love the call, man. I agree with everything you said there. On my end, I think I'll start with female because that one, I mean, really strong female performances haven't exactly like stood out and slapped me in the face this year, but I love what Brie Larson did with Captain Marvel. I really enjoyed what she did in that movie. And that wasn't easy because that's right, a month before Endgame. So they had the similar problems that like Far From Home had, and even worse. She's like, okay, I understand we've got to develop this character, but at the same time, I really want to get to Endgame, that sort of thing. I thought Brie did a really good job in that role. And she may be a little bit underrated. And the whole movie was probably a little bit underrated just because of its placement. But, you know, I mean, other than that, I mean, I always love what Scarlett Johansson did in Endgame. I thought that portrayal was excellently done. With men, I haven't seen it, but you got to say something about Joaquin Phoenix's performance in Joker because he's going to win the Academy Award for Best Male Performance.
Right. And I think if I had seen the movie, that's why I didn't say it. Because, right. Like, I haven't seen the movie. Right. So I think that it's easy to say, yes, he did great, because that's what everybody's saying. And I fully expect it with you.
Right.
I'm still really conflicted about that movie.
I just want to see it. That's the first thing. I mean, as soon as it comes out, I'm going to watch that thing because I just want to see.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
You know, I love what Keanu Reeves did in John Wick 3. Tremendous movie.
Yeah.
But if out of the movies that I saw, if there's one male performance that really stands out to me, it's Robert Downey Jr. in Endgame as Iron Man.
That was my other choice. Yep.
Jesus, what a job that guy did. I mean, you look at that whole story arc and everything he went through, just the conflict he goes through. Do I get involved? Do I put my present at risk to bring back these people that I love and that sort of thing? And then the whole I Love You 3000, you get to see Tony in a different light, family man Tony, a much more humble Tony, that sort of thing. And I mean, everything he does, the performance, I mean, it's a performance of a lifetime. It's one of those transcendent sort of things. I mean, I loved Robert Downey's, everything he did in Endgame was just, I mean, amazing. So if I was to say one male performance of a movie that I actually saw, and even if I saw Joker, I'd probably still lean on the side of Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a very solid, and Robert Downey Jr. was my number two. If I hadn't done Adam Driver, I would have gone with Robert Downey Jr. For much of the same thing. And to have seen him evolve that character over the course of, you know, 10 plus, 11 plus movies, however many it is. And you know, he's talked about family man, Tony, like the mentorship role he plays with Peter Parker,
yep.
And Tom Holland in that role. It is. He is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and that really will be. And you know, and I want to save this point a little bit for eight, but that's another intriguing thing about where Marvel goes next, because he's the linchpin. He is the driving force of that, and he is, you know, he's no more. So what does that mean?
Right. Yeah. Where do they go without the anchor?
Right. Well, we can't have the good without the bad. And so I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about 2019. We've talked about all the best. But I want you to think of one worst of 2019. I'm sure you can think of multiple worse.
This is easy.
But what for, I'm hoping you don't steal my easy. But yeah, lay it out for us, David. You get to go first. If you had to pick the worst of 2019, what would you say was the worst of 2019?
Dark Phoenix, for sure.
Oh, wow. You didn't steal it.
You had a second bite at one of the greatest story arcs of all time. If not, you could make the argument the greatest story arc of all time. They had a second bite at it. They could have learned everything that they did wrong in Last Stand, and then they go and they fuck it up again. That's just inexcusable with that sort of thing. It's like, how can you guys just follow the story? You don't have to tinker with it that much. That was so disappointing that you went to do it with cautious optimism, like kind of like Rise of Skywalker. But unlike Rise of Skywalker, which delivered on many fronts, whether we agree with where it is or not, it delivered on many fronts and failed on others. Dark Phoenix, you can't say that. It just fucking shit the bed the whole way through. And it was a major, major disappointment to me. As far as I'm concerned, that was the worst aspect of 2019.
Worst aspect. Okay. I'm going to go with a different low hanging fruit. Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I thought about that
what
too.
What a freaking train wreck of a finale. Tony's making gestures over there, man. I'm sorry. And here's why. It's challenging for me because it wasn't the worst that they could do, but boy howdy, of all the seasons that needed more episodes, this was the season that needed more episodes. And when everything that is happening in a show isn't making a whole heck of a lot of goddamn sense because it's just happening so fast, to again resolve things and to wrap things up, that to me, it was just kind of a train wreck. And that last episode, like that finale, it's polarizing to say the least. But it felt like we shoehorned three episodes into one. And that's what happens when you get an unsatisfactory finale, like three episodes into one. Some balls are going to get dropped. I think a lot of them were.
I'm used to balls and him dropping the balls. You know,
your balls dropped. What?
But isn't it the best they could have done? I mean, that is that there was a lot of money spent on that show. It's kind of it's kind of the same thing that happened to Rome on HBO, but to a lesser extent, because I thought Rome was even better than Game of Thrones, to be honest with you, if you had a chance to watch that on HBO. But they don't have enough money to make these kind of shows. They can't take care of it. At some point, people expect so much, and you have to cast so many people across so many scenes in different countries that you can't afford to make it happen. Would a network production work? No, because there would
be more. You can't do what you want to do.
But you can't swear. You can't show tits. That's the end of it.
Right. I think the other thing that I really do feel shows in the last couple of seasons of Game of Thrones that really hurt it is, you know, we complain about this guy all the time in the nerdosphere. George R.R. Martin hasn't finished the freaking books. And really, when they were working off the source material, because it was still holding fairly true to the source material until they got past book five, there wasn't a framework within which they needed to work to kind of keep things congruent, and to keep some of that continuity. And I think I do hear what you're saying, Tony, in that they kind of did the best that they could with the resources that they had. And there are some phenomenal moments in that movie. When Arya Stark kills the Night King, it's awesome. It's just so great. I love it. I don't care how it looks. When oh, I can't remember the other child character's name, when she like takes down a freaking giant and sacrifices herself.
She runs one of the other territories of the North.
Right. One of the, yeah. It's just so badass. And her character was just so badass that like you loved it. But I would say that I was still like, I felt optimistic about that show, and worse than The Rise of Skywalker, I like walked out of it. I was like, eh, this is just a mess. The other one that I will say, and this is, I'm going to out myself a little bit in some of the things I like. Cats is a disaster as well. And since it just came out, you know, the same weekend as Rise of Skywalker, don't go see Cats. Your eyes will bleed and it will hurt you.
That's good to know.
Thanks for warning me, Patrick.
Yeah.
I could tell you were both going to go see that at the theater.
I'm on my way out the door right as soon as we go off the air.
To jump off of a building because you went and saw a cat. not good. Very bad indeed. So Tony, you were giving me the wave off scene. Are you still giving me the wave off, or do you have a worst of 2019 that you want to throw out there?
Oh, worst of 2019. I don't know. I'll give you the worst fucking storyline in WWE is Lana and Lashley.
I agree.
Thank you so much.
I agree.
So much. I hate this storyline. That's all that needs to be said there.
Yeah.
All right.
I've enjoyed a lot of it, so it's been a good year. It's been a good year for entertainment.
All right. So this last category, before we get into looking to the future, is one underappreciated show, movie, performance of 2019 that you all saw in some way, shape, or form. And I'll go first. And this movie was not received well critically. And I'm not saying that this movie was terrific by any means. I do have a show too, but I'm going to start with the movie. Came out in February 2014. It was delayed frequently. Did not receive good critical ratings, but I liked it. I thought it was a visual feast, and I was okay with the story. And that's Alita: Battle Angel. It's based on an anime or a manga. I can't remember which, of the same name. And it's the story of a robot that, or like a cyborg that has been designed specifically for combat in a world that it's very cyberpunk. She falls from a separate world. There's kind of a class system involved. People on the surface of Earth are, you know, kind of the poor dregs sort of surviving. And then people up in this other world are kind of the upper class elite and living well group. It was just a fun movie. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Not a lot of thinking involved. And I think it got kind of a bad rap. I think it was one of those movies that people thought too hard about. And trying to watch it, and if you are a fan of the anime, manga, or whatever it was, they really were hard on it too, because it wasn't what they wanted. But I would recommend giving that a look-see. In terms of TV shows, this show got canceled, but I loved it. It was on Sci-Fi. It's called Deadly Class. It was based on a comic book of the same name. And it was about a private prep school for teaching people how to be assassins. And super fun, delightfully violent, ridiculously gory for a sci-fi channel. And if you can find it on streaming, the show's been canceled already. If you can find it somewhere streaming or when it comes available, give it a watch. Again, don't give it too much thought. Just enjoy the ride. Loved it. And
good stuff.
Yeah. Tony, what about you?
The Conners has continued on from the sitcom Roseanne, and I think some sitcom things have happened that are underappreciated that have happened. It's really good. John Goodman's there, Laurie Metcalf, a lot of the old characters, Sarah Gilbert, etc. If you enjoyed watching that growing up in the late 80s, early 90s. Speaking of sitcoms back in the 80s, maybe late 70s, there's been some live things that have happened, All in the Family. What else am I talking about? Dynamite. What was it? Good Times. Thank you very much.
Good Times.
Dynamite.
And it's just some good things that happen on television when they do these live specials of things that have happened before, and they get these people that are really good at acting and know what they're doing. They get these all-star casts. These are things that you should pay attention to. There's something that are really special. In addition to, check out, if you haven't, I know we're already a couple weeks away from it, but Eddie Murphy hosts Saturday Night Live, and it was so.
You cannot say enough good things about that episode.
I got to go watch that.
Telling you.
I know, right?
Check out Gumby on Weekend Update if you haven't already. God damn it, I'm Gumby.
Sure, that's on YouTube. Got to be easy to find. Dave, what about you? What do you got?
Man, you know, I mentioned it earlier, and it's the one thing that really stands out to me that was underappreciated this year, and that was Shazam. Didn't do well in the box office. A tremendous movie. You and I both have it in our top threes of this year, I think. And it's fun. It's different. It's got everything you could want in a superhero movie. And hardly anybody went to see it for some unknown, inexplicable reason.
Couldn't have been a super huge Marvel movie that came out like a week or two later.
Maybe. But still, you would think that people would be all, you know, worked up into a lot. Hey, let's go see a superhero thing. But I'm sure the shadow of Endgame cast a very large pall both before and after it.
Well, and I'm going to go back to something else I said. There is a credibility to Marvel that DC doesn't have. So that's Shazam's a risk. Shazam as a movie was a risk. Casting Zachary Levy in that main role was a risk.
There's another underappreciated performance.
Oh, absolutely. And I felt it really worked. Like, I felt that show was terrific. You know, heart, a lot of heart in that show. You know, the message about family is terrific. And you're right. It's a shame that it didn't do better in the box office because it's a really good flick. It's on HBO right now. Yeah, you can watch it on HBO.
Please
right now.
Do. If you guys are listening to this and you are remotely interested, go watch Shazam. You will definitely not be disappointed. And now you got to do it because now you got Black Adam coming out in what, 2021?
Yes.
With the Rock is going to come out. He's going to just, instead of rock bottoming bitches, he's just going to beat them up with black magic, black lightning. It'll be awesome.
Good times.
I mean, those are the ones that kind of, let me ask you this though. Did you guys feel like John Wick 3 kind of got lost in the post-Endgame sort of tsunami? Or I mean,
in terms of box office, probably. But in terms of a movie, oh, God. Loved it. Those movies are so great.
And I know, we didn't talk about this. I know we mentioned it in exchange in private messages, but you've got John Wick 4 and The Matrix, the next Matrix, releasing on the exact same day.
Now, why are you killing bullet point number 8, Dave? That's the last thing we're going to talk on the show.
That's 2021. That's 2021, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's 2021. I thought it was 2020. My bad. I know it's 2020. All right. Since you went there, though, let's talk about the future, since you seem to be in a damned hurry to get to 2020.
It's just something that popped in my head.
Right. So here we are. We're last day of the year is when this podcast is dropping. So as we look forward to 2020, and Tony, I'll let you go first. What are some things you are looking forward to in the entertainment world come 2020?
Oh man, another DC movie?
CM Punk's Return to the Ring. Oh, sorry, Tony.
Yeah, but the best in the world, you know. I don't know. I'm not. I have no expectations. I would really like to see another DC movie that's quality that I'm not already known of.
You might get two, actually.
Well, that'd be great. I'm a DC guy, just so you guys know. New to the Marvel sphere, but I'm enjoying it. But I'm still a DC guy. But I don't know. I'm hoping. Really, what I'm looking forward to this next coming year is what's going to happen with The Flash on CW. To be honest with you, we're going to talk about superheroes, et cetera, et cetera. Are we done with that show? Is that why they haven't announced that January 14th Crisis on Infinite Earths returns with episode 4, but it's not already been said that it's an episode of The Flash? There's something to talk about.
I don't know, man. No, I think that's fair. Like, yeah, I wish I could speak more to that. I haven't watched any of those CW shows, though I will say we do have The Flash on our Netflix queue for the little O'Dowd because he's a big Flash fan. I think we watched a couple episodes, but he's 7, and so attention spans shift. Currently, we are at Lego Ninjago, and that is all there is, which I didn't realize. They made like 10 seasons of a made-up Ninja Lego show. That's just nuts. Plus a movie and a bajillion Lego sets. But anyway, so Dave, you've been really focused on the future throughout this podcast.
I have.
Lay some stuff on us. What do you want to see? What are you looking forward to in 2020?
I did want to say, you know, Tony's talking about the, you know, where does the Flash fit in on the CW? You know, in the comics, that's where Barry Allen dies, is in Crisis on Infinite Earths, or Crisis on Infinite Earths. So that may have something to do with it. If they're actually going to stay true to that, then maybe you get something like that, which
kind of keep it on the DL.
Yeah, yeah, and they're going to go in that direction. You almost have to. I mean, unless you really water down the entire crossover arc. But I tell you what I'm looking forward to. I got like three things. One of them is I want to see how DC Animation adapts at Red Sun Superman, because they just had the trailer for that. It looks phenomenal. It was mentioned on one of the episodes of the podcast, the one where Greg and I were talking about Superman story arcs. I know I got him interested in the whole concept of the alternate Superman story arc. Hey, what if the damn rocket ship landed in Russia? What would have happened? And it's a great graphic novel. It looks like it's going to be a phenomenal animated, and DC does not do bad animation. So that's going to be great. I do want to see what happens with the DC universe. I want to see what direction they're going. I mean, you've got Birds of Prey comes out, what, January or February or something like that?
Yeah, it's early in the year. So right off the bat.
That's a good way to kind of kick things off. You got Wonder Woman 1984 coming out later on in 2020, which may give some indication as to where they're going with that. Those two movies will set up. They're going to do the Flash movie in 2021. So I'm very curious. I'm like Tony.
When does Suicide Squad? Where's that in the calendar?
That might be later on.
That's being done by James Gunn.
Right. That might be later on in 2020 as well. So they've got some irons in the fire. But obviously, right, the biggest thing I'm looking forward to is Phase 4 of Marvel. Starts in May. Black Widow won't be the only movie we get. What else is coming out? The Eternals comes out this year, right?
The Eternals, yep.
So Phase 4 will be definitely kicked off. I want to see where they're going. I'm very curious to see, Patrick, if we get any inkling as to who the big bad is. Whether it's going to be Galactus, whether it'll be Doctor Doom, whether it'll be somebody we're not expecting.
God, I hope Kang. They go to Latveria and Black Widow. God, that would be so... You know how hard I would pop if, like, all trepidation about Black Widow out the window if they're, like, in Latveria or something. Oh,
or the post-credit scene is in Latveria.
Doom is all kneel before Doom. all bow.
But
I love him so much as a character.
Those are the things I'm really looking forward to in 2020. And I think all three of them will come to pass. So just it depends what they do with them and what kind of continuity we're going to get between all this stuff. I would love to say there's going to be some crossover between Crisis on Infinite Earths and what they're doing in DC in the movies, but there's not. DC's got to do something. You know, they're not stopping making movies. You got The Flash coming out. You got Black Adam coming out. They've got something. You got Batman coming out. Robert Pattinson's Batman portrayal coming out. Are they going to create any sort of continuous thread through all this stuff? They almost have to at this point. So that's what I'm looking forward to this year.
Nice. So I'm going to piggyback off that a little bit. I think that you're absolutely right. We're heading into new territory. I'm only going to do two. We're heading into new territory with Marvel and what's really next. And Iron Man has been such a part of that. Captain America has been such a part of that. Such important core pieces of this. And there's a lot of content coming in 2020, not just in the big screen, but also in Disney Plus. I think the first of the Disney Plus shows hits.
Yes.
I can't remember which one it is.
Isn't it What If?
Yeah, I think it might be What If, which is going to be interesting because it's a little less of a, and that's, is that animated? Is that the one that's animated?
I don't know. Isn't Robert Downey Jr. doing some What If episodes?
Right, but I couldn't remember if it was him actually acting or if it was voice acting.
I don't know.
I'll have to look into it, but there's just a lot that you're going to start to see the roadmap for DC take place. The other thing I'm really looking forward to in 2020, we've talked about it a lot, nostalgia is king, and there are two big time nostalgic movies coming out that are sequels that I'm very excited about. One is in August, and that's Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Oh, yes.
yes. And I love me You know, we haven't talked about it. We didn't talk about this much. But how about Keanu Reeves, y'all? How about Keanu Reeves in the resurgence in his career and what he's gotten to do? But I loved Bill and Ted. I loved Bill and Ted and The Bogus Journey and The Excellent Adventure. I'm so excited that death is coming back. I'm so excited of where the what could be. Like, we don't know anything about this damn movie other than that they're fathers. And that they're still wrestling with being the saviors of the universe, and that that time is coming. And so I'm thrilled that we're going to get this movie. It could be a complete turd of a film, and we're talking about it next year at the end of 2020 as the biggest disappointment. But I'm very excited about it. The other one that I'm excited about, trailer just dropped. We talked about it 2 weeks ago, and that's Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Directed by Jason Reitman. That looks like it is going to be much more connected to those original two movies of the original Ghostbusters series. Again, it's another one of those where they haven't really shown their hand too much. Just some snippets of some scenes. I love Ghostbusters, and this may just be me wanting it to be good. But I'm so excited for those two flicks. Yeah. I'm so excited for those.
Will
two
it
flicks.
To happen, Patrick, just, you know, do the force thing.
And that's the thing, is I may walk out of it trying to tell myself it's good, kind of the way that you tell yourself it's good, or tell yourself that Rise of Skywalker is good.
You
and
know,
that's okay.
You know it was good. You just don't want to say
say it was great. It was fine. Yeah. I'm not going to say it was great.
You'd be lying if you said it wasn't good.
It's fine. I've described it as fine in every one of my assessments. It is fine.
I love the play on words.
It has good. And it has some things that are offset that are just terrible. So you're not going to get me there, Dave. I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to say it's the AJ Styles of Star Wars movies. It's phenomenal.
No, it is. Oh, stop it. Just stop it. You should be ashamed of yourself for putting that over like that. And I can't believe that we're going to end this show talking about Star Wars again. We got to get away from Star Wars next year a little bit, man. We got to back away. Got like
it's been a little bit hard here.
A little Star Wars.
Hey, I will say this.
Star Wars, Mandalorian.
You want to get away from Star Wars? Last little tidbit here. We talked about theme parks. We talked about Rise of the Resistance. I will not say that the ride we went on yesterday will match Rise of the Resistance at all, but. Six Flags Magic Mountain opened up West Coast Racers yesterday for members. If you had a membership, you got to do you got to ride the ride 2 weeks before it opens to the public. Great ride. If you guys can get out to Magic Mountain,
Cool. I saw it. You put a picture up.
I did. Right? It's a side by side. It's interesting. It's a side by side. Breaking news.
Yeah, Dave Unger's breaking fancy. News. Let's kick it over to Fancy Pants, Dave Unger, for some breaking news.
No, it's one of these launch roller coasters that it's really good. I mean, you actually go around once and then you end up on the other side and then they run you a second time. So it doesn't have quite the race element like Radiator Springs has at California Adventure, but it's a really good ride. And my son, he's a theme park enthusiast. He had his pictures liked by Magic Mountain, the theme park itself, which was a big deal for him. And he got to meet the meet the park president. So fun stuff. Something other than Star Wars to end this episode.
There you go. Big Dave.
If you get to meet the president of the park. You
know. Yeah. I had no idea who the hell he was, but I'm like, okay. Who the hell are you? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You make more money than me. That's for sure.
All right. Well, we ran a little bit long on this episode, but I think that's perfectly okay for an end of the year edition. Dave, why don't you kick us off and tell us where they can find you in the intersphere?
You can find me at the local watering hole. I'm probably drunk with PC Tunney and Christopher Platt, but no. You can find me at AttitudeAGG on Twitter or on Facebook, facebook.com/attitudeofaggression, or just send a friend request to Dave Unger. You know, if you really want to be cool about it and get really personal, you can do that too. That's all right. I may reject it, but you know, it's okay.
All right, PC Tony, tell them how to find you, brother.
I can tell you, if you're at a bar and you're drunk with myself, Mr. Unger, and Mr. Platt, you can find yourself the luckiest person on planet Earth. I promise you that.
It's all true.
You can follow me at PC Tony. Make sure you check out Podcast DWI. Make sure you check out Pod Is War. Make sure you check out thechairshot.com, pro wrestling tees / thechairshot.com. aesthetically uplift yourself to all of your friends. Get some t-shirts. You guys are awesome. This is a fun show. People should listen. They are listening. I guarantee.
Thanks, Patrick, man. I appreciate
it. What about you? Where can people find the one and only Patrick? Rise of the Skywalker wasn't that great, O'Dowd.
Well, before I do that, I think on this recording, we need to clip out PC Tunney doing all the promotional stuff so that we just have it.
Yes.
And can just start playing it.
Or Greg, you can just send me the file. That'd be even better.
There you go. But you can follow me on Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. You can listen to this show. You can also listen to me on Wednesdays on the Greg DeMarco show on thechairshot.com as well. Thank you everybody for listening to our show tonight. And gentlemen, happy new year. Cause you know, here's to you. I'm going to raise the whiskey glass to you. PC Tony, thank you again for coming in, doing double duty for us. Dave, you've been a great host. I'm glad that we get to have these conversations every week. So happy new year, fellas. Here's to you. Play us out some good music. Okay, buddy.
Happy new year, basement dwellers. Tony, thank you so much. Catch you guys in 2020.
Enjoy the bubbly.